I'm going to read a few words here in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. And verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves with waxen fat, then will they return unto other gods and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And verse number 30. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And I'm going to read a portion of the song, chapter 32. I was in chapter 31, now chapter 32. That's right. This is, Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear. O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye his greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And then I want us to go to the book of Revelation. Revelation, the 15th chapter. Amen. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over the image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing a song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for the judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. You may be seated. I'm talking tonight about the song of Moses and the Lamb. The song of Moses and the Lamb. And my question tonight to you is, do you know this song? Amen. Do you know this song? Hallelujah. You know, we have people sing sometimes that they forget the words to their songs. And we love good music, don't we? We love good music. And when somebody messes up a little bit, because we know them, we understand, we don't get mad or anything. We just know, you know, they'll get another chance. But I'm not talking about necessarily a song with words and sounds, harmonies, and various arrangements of voices. There's a song that's deeper, that can be represented many times by the singing. As we sing songs, and we're so blessed, sometimes moved to tears with emotion. And we have things that we can relate to, that in the words of songs. And many times God is recorded in the Word of God as being one who uses people singing songs to remind them of what they have and what God can do. The entire book of Psalms is a book filled with songs of Moses and the Lamb. Many of them are written by David. But when you read all the Psalms in the songbook of the Bible, the book of Psalms, you read about things that have come to pass because of the power of God, because of the mighty God, because of the greatness of God. And then you read of things that God shall continue to always be able to do. And then so often, over and over, we have words like, sing unto the Lord. And I want to start and just read a few verses here. I'm going to go all the way back to 1 Chronicles. You don't have to try to keep up. I'm just going to go through these. 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing unto who? Sing unto Him. Sing unto the Lord. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Then let's jump to the book of Psalms. Psalm 9:11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Psalms 34. Sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalm 33:2. Praise the Lord with heart. Sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. Psalm 47:6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm 66:1. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Psalm 67:4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Pause and think about it. Hallelujah. Psalm 68:4. Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name and rejoice before Him. Psalm 68:32. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, to Him that rideth upon the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Lo, He doth send out His voice, and that a mighty voice. Hallelujah. Psalm 81:1. Sing unto God our strength. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise to the God of Jacob. Psalm 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. Hallelujah. Psalm 95:1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Hallelujah. Psalm 96:1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Hallelujah. Psalm 98:1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Psalm 98:4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp and with a voice of psalm. Psalm 102. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Psalm 105:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Psalm 135:3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 147 and 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Psalm 149, 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Psalm 149, 3. Let them praise his name in the dance, let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. Psalm 149 and 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds. Isaiah 12:5, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Isaiah 42:10, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 20:13. Sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. Zephaniah 3:14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, sing, shout. O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. God is pleading with his people to know how to get to this victory you need. To know how to rejoice and be exceeding glad no matter what. The combination of ingredients you need to be victorious throughout your life is coming to you at this moment through my mouth. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And finally, James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing. Let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That last verse I read, there's more into it than just the part about calling the elders of the church and coming up here and laying on hands and anointing with. There's more to this. There's that word let. You know, if somebody got a problem, you're down, you're having a struggle, and you've lost your song, pray. But if somebody's happy in the Lord, let them sing. Don't try to rub it off on them. Praise God. There's a lot more to the word of the Lord than the word we read sometimes that we think we know. Hallelujah. Don't try to drag somebody down to your crying in the beer moment. You know, some of these people, you know, they go through life, and the only songs that give them a little bit of relief are those songs on the jukebox. Your cheating heart would tell on you. Songs about trucks and trains and that woman, my man. Songs of, but you know, as they sit there and they drink, they can relate because they're living a life that doesn't know yet the experience of singing a happy song all the time, no matter what. We're instructed in the Word of God to be of good cheer, aren't we? Be of good cheer. That phone's going to ring four times. Don't worry about it. It's a solicitor. They'll hang up in a minute. Be of good cheer. We're instructed in the Word of God to rejoice in the Lord always. And then he goes on and says, and again I say, rejoice. How can you do that if you're sad? How can you do that if you're lonely? How can you do that if you're afraid? How can you do that if you're worried? I'll tell you how you can do it. Get the Song of Songs in your heart. That I gave you so many examples already, and those are not all of them. Those are the ones I chose. It's so much a part of the Word of God that we need to stay ready to sing this song. And there was so much covered there in the instructions that I read to you about the song unto the Lord. Jesus even instructed in the New Testament through his apostle that we should sing and rejoice. Hallelujah. The Word of God is filled with instructions, no matter what's going on, how to get through your darkest night. What did Paul and Silas do when they were in bondage, in jail, had been beaten, and they were destined to die? And it was dark. It was midnight. And they were not only in jail, but they had stocks on their hands and feet. These were people of God. And if anybody had a trial, they had a trial to go through that night. So what did they do at the darkest moment when it seemed that there was no hope? They started singing praise unto God. Hallelujah. You know, if you forget this song, it's much more serious than, Brother Rick, than forgetting that song you keep forgetting over and over. That song that you sang, what is it? Every time Brother Arthur plays the introduction, you go, oh. Yeah, I forgot. And usually when you forget, if I say something about it, I forget my song. So we just are people who forget songs. But those kind of songs, we can forget words. We can forget the tune. We can have a sneezing, coughing, hoarse voice as we try to sing it, and it can sound terrible. And you can even get to where you can't sing. You don't even have to be able to sing. Well, I could have said Sister Judy just as easy. You don't have to be able to sing like the people who come up here and sing special songs in order to be able to obey God and sing a song to the Lord. There are times in the Old Testament you can read about how the people, when they had to fight a battle, the instruction was just sing. Just be happy and sing, you know. Make a joyful sound. Play some music, you know. Play the horn. And just sing and rejoice and be happy. And then a few verses later, you read how they won the battle. They won it by singing to the Lord. Hallelujah. They won it by being cheerful before the Lord. They won the battle by being filled with praise unto God. When the enemy was so mean and so much of an outnumbered cast out there against them, and it seemed there was no hope, then the instruction of God came, just sing. Sing your song. Sing your song. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who your God is. Don't forget the Word of the Lord. It's the Word of the Lord that's going to see you through this thing. No matter what it is, don't forget your song. Don't forget that you have a song in the night. You have a song for the storms. You have a song that's written for those destitute moments. You have a song that's written and recorded. And what is it? It's a song of Moses and the Lamb. We're singing the song of Moses and the Lamb every time we testify with victory. We're singing the song that gives praise unto God, that gives honor to the God that has delivered us from the hands of the taskmakers and the ones that seemingly weren't going to let us go, but we're singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. We're singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. And David, all his psalms were about the song of Moses and the Lamb. I mean, from the time that Moses was used by God as a savior for the people of Israel to lead them out of bondage as a type and Savior of one who would later come and be a not just a type, but he would actually be the fulfillment of the lesson taught by God's dealing with Moses and his children. As Moses was a Savior to the people, as Moses did what God instructed, later on Jesus Christ showed us a greater Moses. Hallelujah. Who was here to set us free. Who was here to set the captive free. Who was here to make a way out of the impossible situations. Praise God. And all through the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy on forward, you keep on reading about the song of Moses. The song of Moses. And the people of Israel were reminded as the inhabitants expanded and the population grew and thousands and thousands of families were gathered in places where it seemed like it's not possible we can get there from here. Moses reminded them of the song that God had instructed. Give praise to God. Stand still and just see the salvation of God. Know that He is the great God. He is our King. He is our Lord. He never fails. He's the mighty God of heaven. Oh, sing praise, rejoice in the God of our salvation. Then years later, the children of Israel are instructed by King David, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Sing and rejoice. Sing praises unto your God. And many times, those songs of Psalms would be including words of Moses and the Lamb. Our Moses, the song of Moses. And then you would see the prophecy concerning the Lamb that's to come. Amen. You see in many places in the Psalms, songs that are written concerning future events, about the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And so before it came to pass, the songs by David many times included that which would come to pass. Here we are living a couple of thousand years later, after Jesus has died on the cross. And we have all this before us in the Word of God. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Examples and instructions of how to be victorious and how they were victorious. And how that crazy things happened in their lives. But God was able to see what's going on. He knew the direction they were headed and even spoke to Moses. And he said, you know, I'm giving you instruction. There is going to be a promise that will be received. And I'm instructing you to write a new song, teach these people the song. And I might as well let you know now, a lot of them are going to forget the song along the way. And they're going to turn away from God and they're going to worship idol gods. But there are going to be some that are going to hang on and their seed are going to have this song in their mouth because the promise of God will come to pass. And those that can sing this song are going to inherit the promise of God. What is that song? God is great. God is great. God is able to supply my need. God is able to take me through this valley. God is able to lift me up on the mountain. God is able to encourage my heart. God is able to make a way in the wilderness. God is able to provide springs in the desert. God is able to do anything but fail. I trust in you, Lord. I sing unto you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I give thanks unto you, Lord. And when you get a chance, pick up a tambourine and shake it a little bit and say, oh, praise the Lord, all my heart. Oh, praise the Lord with my lips. Praise the Lord with the lifting of my hands. I sing unto you, my Lord. My Lord of lords, my God of gods, my King of kings. What is this? It's a song of Moses. And for us, it's a song of the Lamb. And for us, it's a song as a witness unto God, as we were instructed by Peter in the book of Acts. And ye shall be witnesses unto Him. Witnesses unto Him. Witnesses unto Him. That's singing unto the Lord. When we come through the trial, we come through the valley, we come through the storm, we come through the darkness, we get past the clouds, and we're still there, says, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. That's a witness unto Him. Be ye a witness unto Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Springtime birds sing. And we hear the birds singing. And the sun is shining. It feels good. Amen. It's a nice day. 72 degrees. A slight breeze. Amen. Is that where that is? Trinidad. Amen. Well, I don't care where it is, even if it's Trinidad. And we got a lot of people that listen to us in Trinidad, so I'm not saying anything bad about Trinidad. If it's 72 degrees, and the birds are singing, and the grass is green, and the rippling brook is flowing, and the weather's good, and you're out there just feeling so good, it's easy at a moment like that, no matter what you might have been through during the winter time, to have at least a happy moment. A little relief. A little something that says, it's good to be alive. Amen. Hallelujah. But if all you're living for is for that good feeling, I might as well warn you now, winter is coming again. Storms are going to come back again. And you're going to have some problems. Sometimes it's going to get cold. Sometime the way is going to be rough. And that feeling of birds singing, nice temperature, gentle breeze, rippling brook, and that just, oh wow, what a wonderful life it is. It's not going to be exactly as it was because the clouds are dark. The wind is chilling. And that old, I mean, if it's going to snow, let it snow. Why does it have to be 33 degrees and pouring down rain out here? These big old cold raindrops. Oh. And if you're a Christian trying to live for God, and you can only live for God when things look good, feel good. When I say live for God, I'm talking about more than just saying I'm a Christian. More than just saying, I'm a child of God and I go to church. More than getting up to sing or testify. I'm talking about still singing unto the Lord during that moment. The victory song of Moses and the Lamb of God. A song that exalts the precious King of Kings and Lord of Lords above all and gives Him honor, gives Him praise, and sings about the precious blood of the Lamb that brought me into this wonderful inheritance where no matter what's going on, no matter how the weather is, or no matter what conditions there are, no matter how cold it is, how stormy it is, how cloudy it is, and how bad I feel, I can still sing, God is so good to me. Why should I complain? I once was a sinner, now I'm a child of the King. I once walked in total darkness and the light shined in my direction. And that makes you want to just say what we say many times when our song is coming forth. Many times we do it right here in testimony service. I just want to praise the Lord. I just want to thank the Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, because you're so great. Hallelujah. You want to know the song that the angels cannot sing? They can sing the song of Moses, but they'll never really be able to sing the song of the Lamb. That part's reserved for you. It's not that the angels can't sing, it's not the angels are bad, but they have never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so we're not talking about going to heaven someday and all of us having this beautiful voice and la la, we can sing and the poor old angel going, yeah, I can't do that. That's not what we're talking about. You're going to sing a song the angels cannot sing. What is that song? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been set free because Jesus paid the ransom for me.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And what happened to the blood that was shed in those veins and came running down that cross made a difference in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll be singing praises to the one that sits on the throne. Who is this that sits on the throne? You can read about it in the book of Revelation. He is the one that was crucified, that was dead and now is alive and alive forevermore. That's the one that's going to be sitting on the throne. So we'll gather around that great throne wherever it may be. All the people of God and all the angels of hosts. What a camp meeting celebration it's going to be when the praises go forth. Amen. And we're going to praise Him and we're going to thank Him. But the people are the only ones are going to be able to sing the song of the Lamb. And I'll tell you this, that song of the Lamb you'll be singing then is not going to be the first time you sung it. And the only way you'll get to sing it then is if the last thing you sung on this earth was that song. Hallelujah. I've seen people die singing the song of the Lamb. I've seen people die happy. You get more insight on the beautiful part of the death of a saint of God when you stand at the bedside of the one who's drawing that last breath with a smile. With a smile. I've even noticed after the undertaker does the work that has to be done, and we go to the funeral and we view the body, there seems to always, no matter how much they do, you can't wipe the smile off of the saint of God that was singing that song right up to the last breath. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So sometimes life is fun and exciting. People sing happy songs because it's fun. It's exciting. But it's not always a bed of roses. Sometimes the sun does go down. It gets dark, gets cold, gets cloudy. Everything looks sad and bad. And if we're not careful, we'll start singing like old Sister Abel. I wish I could feel good. But when I would feel good, I can't feel good. Because I'm thinking about what it's going to feel like when I don't feel good. Is that the song you want to sing? Praise God. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Because God is great. Amen. God has so many verses to this song. And every one of us, as we sing it, the words are not the same for all of us, but the word that brought it forth is always the same. It's like a song, it's like the unfinished symphony at this point. Or for others, it may be like a lost chord. You remember how good it was. Oh, if I could only get back to the place where I once was. Now, that's like going to the tavern and ordering the beer and waiting on somebody to feel sorry for you and drop that quarter in the jukebox and get somebody that knows how it feels to go through what you're going through, to sing just a few words enough to get you to cry. Some people, and I'm not talking about anybody here that I know, I don't think I am, but I've lived a long time, I've known a lot of people. So when I say some people, don't take it personally necessarily, unless you need to. You know more about that than anybody. But sometimes there's a reason why we talk about some people over there somewhere. It's kind of like Tony Schenecke once said, Brother Rutledge, a lot of people that I know would enjoy your TV program much better if you wouldn't look straight at them. He said, if you could just fix a table maybe and sit at it and talk to somebody else. He said, you can say the same words, but they take it better if you're not looking at them. I understand that. You know, if you just keep on saying, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, you need, it's difficult for people who don't want to hear it. to be there while you just tell them that over and over. But now if you turn off, and you're talking to somebody else, say, you know, people need Jesus. They can watch that and they can receive it. I mean, you're entitled to your own opinion. You can say what you want to. When you get through, we'll all do our own thing, go our own way, and it won't be that direct, but it's that you need him. That bothers some people. Amen. That bothers some people. I don't know much about beer joints and taverns and, you know, nightclubs. I've been to two nightclubs in my life. One of them I went with a group of preachers to witness to a fellow who was a nightclub entertainer. This was up in, I forget the name of the place, but it's up in Canada. And he was sincerely wanting to know more about God. So I was preaching for this brother in this church in Canada. And then he said, we have an appointment after service to go witness. So we went into this nightclub with all the flashing lights. And the entertainer was on the stage with his big band. And they were, you know, people were dancing. And, you know, I got the feeling that they probably feel. It was a happy feeling in there. Although, you know, I was glad I was there with them. Not by myself, because I don't think I would have felt good about being there if I hadn't been with a group of preachers and had that purpose in mind. But so we were sitting there together, and all this, you know, people drinking and talking and nightclub people there. And I got a little bit of a glimpse of what people do. They all were dressed nice, and it's a really swanky place. And the man who was hungry for God recognized his friend, the preacher that he talked to in various places, and had invited him to come visit. And he had told him, I'll come if I can bring some folks with me. I'm not coming by myself. So anyway, there we were. So he came over and sat at our table. And somehow in the conversation, somebody said, we have a musician here sitting at the table. And they started pointing at me. And then he started saying, get up on the stage and play some music, sing to us. I was reluctant. I didn't want to do it. I'd never sung in a nightclub before. And I was there preaching for this man, you know. So what am I going to sing? You're cheating hard or what? So, you know. And the band was still on the stage. And they started putting the guitars and things up. And I said, no, keep it. I might need you to back me up here. So I went up there and I just smiled at everybody. They were very quiet at first. This was a swanky, fancy place where they were enjoying the rock and roll. They were enjoying what they were drinking. They were enjoying whoever's husband or wife they were with and just having a good time. But there's something about when that entertainer told them, hey, everybody, give me your attention. We got a preacher here. He wants to sing a song. It was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop. It was like you could hear the brain thinking real loud, what's he doing here? So I had these rock and roll people around me, and guitar over here, and drummer. And they were good because I'd been listening to them there for a few minutes. So I turned around and I said, y'all don't worry about the fact that I'm a preacher. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hurt you. I was invited here tonight to talk to a friend. So he's asked me to sing, so I'll sing. But I don't know probably the songs that you like, but I've written some songs. And these songs come from my heart. But it's the way I live. And I'll get out of the way shortly, but if you want me to sing, the only thing I really know to sing is what I sing. And the Lord was starting to bless me about this time. Because it was going to be more than just a song. I wanted to get their attention, but I wanted somehow to be used of God for just a moment to touch a heart that may not ever be touched again or never would have been touched. You know that song I sing? I can't praise him enough for all he's done for me. For some reason, that song came to my mind. I can't praise him enough for all he's done for me. He could have passed me by, but he cared for me. I was lost in sin when he found me. He could have let me die, but He died for me. And I can't praise Him enough for all He's done for me. But before I told them what I was singing, and before I started singing it, I instructed the musicians, these are the chords. And I showed them the beat. And they started playing. And man, I heard them say, that's cool. No words yet. You know, no words. Da 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 da. Do 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 do. I noticed over here some people started dancing. Yeah. Do 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 do. And they started relaxing, drinking their beer and their whiskey. Do 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 do. Their mixed drinks. Ah. The lights are going. Do 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 do. Yeah. They were starting to. Yeah, yeah. I like this stuff. Yeah. And then when I started singing it, everything settled down again. Some people, you know, they can dance to the music. They can enjoy the beat. They can love the tune. And they can relate to the sound of the music. But when you start singing the song that I'm trying to talk about tonight that's in the Word of God, whether it be to the beat or to the music or just spoken word, it bothers devils. Just recently, and I don't think Brother Dan reminded me, he knows who this was, but just recently somebody visited our church, came up to me and said, Pastor, when I walk in this church, I get nervous. Amen. I wasn't going to tell Brother Dan. So it takes me a while to settle down. And I said, well, it's going to be all right. But it's not the person that gets nervous. I mean, it may, they think it is, but it's not. And, but it's spirit. These spirits are everywhere. They don't want you to keep singing a happy song. They don't want you to really hear what it is. They really hear the beat. Hear the music, but don't listen to the song. You know, and then the other time I visited a club was a time, I probably shouldn't tell this part, but it includes something about the mercy and the grace of God, so I'll tell it. Not as in any way making it sound good, look good, or be an example that anybody else should ever do this. But there was a time and a discouraged moment in my Christian walk years ago when I was young, and this is before I had this experience I just told you about. I hadn't been out too much and done many things because I had given my life to God, and as far as a lot of the world's concerned, you've been cheated out of all the fun when you if you start giving your life to God at an early age. Some of them would say, hey, you got to sow your wild oats before you do that, don't you know? You know, but no, that's not true. That's just a lie. Amen. But I was driving one day, and for some reason, because I was sad, because I was feeling bad, and I wasn't happy about the way some people had been, I was disappointed and discouraged. Something about those bright lights over there in a place that I would never go to started attracting me. And so I started going that way, not intending to go inside. You know, a lot of people fall into sin, but they don't mean to. They didn't mean to when they started that direction. God knows when He calls you where He's taking you. He also knows in the direction you're taking, the way you're thinking, and the way you're reacting to circumstances in life, if your song is as it should be. And He can look ahead, and He can also see some are not going to make it to the promise. But keep bringing your kids to church, some of them will. Your seed will have the song on their lips. Hallelujah. Amen. And all of us can make it, but I'd hate to have the testimony all through eternity in hell. Everybody I taught learned the song. and here I burn. Boy, that'd be a terrible song. I wouldn't even be able to cry in my beer over that one. Wouldn't that be awful? To be forever away from God. If there were no fire, just not to be able to be happy again and know that you can pray and get a hold of God, that would be terrible. Forever, but no hope at all. Knowing that if I had just stayed with my calling and what God directed, I could be rejoicing forever. Something better than birds singing and a rippling brook and sun shining at 72 degrees. But here I burn. Here I am forever in misery. But anyway, I didn't intend to go into that place at all. And since I didn't intend to, I shouldn't have stopped. I shouldn't have parked in front of it. Because parking in front of the place, thinking, I'll just sit here and watch people come and go and relax and just get my mind off of a lot of things, because the lights are flashing and the signs are up there. A lot of people are here. I'll just sit here. But I started watching the people come and go. And after a while, I got out of my car. And started just kind of just walking toward the door, not really intending to go inside. I just wanted to look inside. That's the way some people come to church. They don't really intend to really come in. I just go in the wrong direction, what I was about to do. But some people will come to the doors of the church, but they don't intend to go inside. But after a while, sometimes they find themselves inside because the same kind of thing that attracts people to go that way is the same kind of force that God uses to attract people to come this way. You see, the devil's a copycat. He knows how God draws people unto him. The big difference, though, you got to remember is Satan was not crucified for your sins. And he's your enemy. And no matter how good it looks, and he tries to bring you out into something that flashes and looks good and feels good, you need to hang on to what you know is right, no matter how discouraged you are. No matter how you've been hurt, no matter how you've been afraid, no matter how you might have felt like you lost your faith, God's word is true, and your instruction is keep singing. Sing when you feel bad. Sing when you're in trouble. Sing when you're bound. Sing when nobody wants to listen. Sing when you're alone. Sing it. Sing. Who are you going to sing to? To the Lord. It's kind of like that song our brother was singing it. We learned and we loved. Just the two of us. Just the two of us. Sometimes it seems like nobody else is wanting to live right except you. But God's going to keep living right. And He'll understand where you're coming from. And you sing unto Him and your song will get a few new verses. And you'll get excited because it just gets better and better as the days go by. But I looked inside that door and then I saw what appeared to be happy people inside. Because the enemy has a way of making the world look good. Just like God has a way of making happiness and peace and joy. True happiness look good. But when you get discouraged and down, you can find yourself not singing if you allow it to happen. That's what happened to me. I wasn't planning on backsliding. I wasn't planning on throwing my Christian experience away. This is before I was a preacher. This is way back there. I wasn't planning on throwing everything away that I knew God had done for me. In fact, I had thoughts even. Even if I go inside, God knows my heart, I'm still going to live for Him. After I get past whatever it is I'm about to do. And I didn't even know what that was going to be. But I found myself standing in that place. The loud music was playing, the people were dancing, and the people were drinking. And a real pretty young lady smiled at me. And my heart started beating. And I hadn't thought about that happening in that place. I just wanted to get in there and get relief from my persecuting saints that kept disappointing me. Get relief from those people that disappointed me and made me discouraged. That's not where you go to get your relief. But I found myself standing there, and this girl smiled at me. And I thought, wow. So I smiled back. Now listen close. I want you to hear this whole story. And she started walking toward me. And I smiled even bigger. And she walked right up to my face. She said, "Hello." I said, "Hi. Do you come here often?" I said, "No, actually, this is my first time." "So what do you do for a living?" I played gospel music on the radio. I was a DJ. I didn't want to tell her. I said, "I'm a radio DJ in another town, long ways from here." Then she startled me. She smiled real big. She said, "Well, I want to give you something." My heart just... "This pretty girl going to give me something? What have I been missing all these years?" And she handed me a piece of paper. And that piece of paper said, "Jesus loves you." I didn't know what to say. Because I looked on the back of it and it said, "All you have to do to be saved is confess that you are a sinner. Believe in your heart, confess in your with your mouth that Jesus Christ lived and died and was raised again. If you believe that and sign right here, you're saved and on your way to heaven." And I read that while she continued to smile. And she handed me a pen. You know what I wanted to say to her? "Look, lady, you're preaching false doctrine here." It was there. I wanted to say it. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Don't you know that's not the plan of salvation? I couldn't say it. I couldn't sing my song. I couldn't do it. You know, all I could do was say to her, I said, "I got to go." Just like those people do sometimes. We start preaching about Jesus. Woo! Jesus is your answer. Jesus is the reason for your season. Jesus is everything you need. Out the door they go. "I gotta go." I couldn't get out of that place fast enough. Hallelujah. I ran from that woman. I ran from that place. I've never been back to one except that one I told you about where I started singing. He could have passed me by, but he cared for me. Thank God. That next service at our church, I had my song back. Praise the Lord with me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, I'm headed for 9:30, so I got just a few more minutes if you'll bear with me. Because I'm talking about something, it'll be good for you. It's the best thing that can happen to any one of us if we can remember our song in the night. I'm talking about the night, not being nighttime like the sun goes down, but I'm talking about the song in the night where as far as your hope of things being like you really hoped it would be, it's gone. It's nighttime. It's dark. It's hard to get direction, you know. It's hard to see a map at night. It's hard to read a book at night. It's hard to read the Bible at night. It's hard to even feel good about things when you've got a bad thing going on and it's nighttime and there's nothing you can do about what might be going on right now. It's dark in here. Those are moments when your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is seeking to devour you. Take away your victory. Take away your hope and your joy. There are moments in life, and I've been there, many of us have been there, when the problems that come into your life are problems that we didn't expect and we can't fix. And all we got left, it seems, is God. And that's the one thing, if I can call it a thing. I mean, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, was called a thing in the Bible, so the holy thing within you is God. That's the only thing, sometimes, the knowledge that God is with me that can sustain me through this moment. And since we know that, we have to ask ourselves, do I really believe it? And you might say, yes, but do you really? And I need to hurry up through the rest of this because my thoughts tonight started with these words. We need to ask ourselves questions like, and later they ended up way down on the page, and the songs and the scriptures came, and so I pushed it down. But here's where I am. Who is Jesus? You know, if you can't get your song back, just ask yourself, who is Jesus? And try to remember what you can about who He is. I mean, if you've been going to church here for a while, you ought to know something about who He is. Sometimes in order to remember a song, a few words need to be spoken because they get away from us sometimes. We don't remember. But the biggest song that you don't want to remember is the song of the Lamb. I mean, that you don't want to forget. And so ask yourself, remind yourself by asking yourself, who is Jesus? And you may find that you think you know, but you may come to a greater knowledge of who He really is in a moment like that. Because it's not just Jesus for the jumping, testifying, shouting, Holy Ghost moment of Jubilee church time. He's Jesus in the dark corner when you're discouraged. Jesus said to His disciples, who do men say that I am? And after a while, after some answers came forth, He looked at one of them directly and He said, who do you say that I am? And when the answer came back, it was a song unto the Lord. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God's response to that was not, you know, when He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. You study into that and realize what He's saying there. It's more than just words. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. It's no matter what's happening in your life, no matter who did what, no matter what struggles of humanity are going on, your knowledge of who Jesus is comes from somewhere else. Hallelujah. Because Jesus can fix things that can't be fixed. Jesus can straighten out crooked places that can't be straightened out. God, Jesus can heal things that can't be healed. Jesus can lift things that can't be lifted. Hallelujah. So who do you say He is? Is He the one that can heal you when you're sick? Is He the one that can encourage you when you're discouraged? Is He the one that can lift up your spirits when you're cast down? Is He the one that's able to take you out of the deep, dark valley when all you've been able to sing is, I'm in the valley, I'm in the valley, down in the valley. Song I was kind of raised on was, you gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go there by yourself. No one else can go there for you. You gotta go there by yourself. And when you find yourself in that lonesome valley, make sure you can sing. And there's nobody else to hear your song. But this song needs to be to the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. A new song. Sing praises unto your God.
Hallelujah. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. In the city of our God. In the mountain of holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth. Sing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And then ask yourself, is He real? You know, it might seem like a foolish question, but if you can't sing, you might need to hear the answer again. And the answer will come right through your very moment of loneliness and heartaches and heartbroken moments and problems and more problems yet coming tomorrow and things that are just out of control. And I'm talking, doing for some people right now what going to a bar room and turning on the music and crying in the beer dust for some folks, you know. I mean, there's some relief here in knowing that the preacher's talking about things you know something about. You've been there and maybe you are there. But we're not in a bar room and this is not your cheating heart that I'm talking about tonight. Hallelujah. I'm talking about something that you're relating to right now, and maybe you have had an experience with God. You've walked with Him. You've known how it feels to testify and sing, and perhaps even preach. But now you need to ask yourself, is He real? You even got the Holy Ghost, but you still need to ask, is this real? You're not necessarily doubting. What you're trying to do is encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you need to ask yourself, who is this Jesus anyhow? Is He real? Because when you start asking the question, you're going to start remembering some real things that really did happen. Hey, that was real. When I gave my heart to Him, that was real. When my burdens were lifted, that was real. Nobody could have done what happened to me that day. It was real. Who is Jesus? He's the one that lifted me up when nobody could lift me up. He's the one that encouraged me when I was so low I didn't think I could ever feel good again. He's the one that made me feel like there's hope when the road I was taking seemed so hopeless. You start thinking about who is He and is He real? You will start singing a song unto Him no matter who else is listening or not listening. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To some, Jesus is like a good luck charm. Like a rabbit's foot. Just when things go tough, that's when you get it out and you look at it, rub on it a little bit, and remind yourself, I'm gonna have some good luck here somewhere along the way. And so just when you need Him, you say, Jesus. You know, some people don't pray at all for months until they start having that car wreck. And all of a sudden, they grab that rabbit's foot. Jesus! Rub that little medallion, that little piece of wood or whatever it is. Jesus! Jesus wants to be more than just something you call on when you're in trouble. Hallelujah. He wants to be more than just somebody that you cry to, although He'll be there for you. But Jesus wants to be your friend. He wants to hear your song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To some of my friends, Jesus is like a convenience store. You know, a little fast food place. Or, you know, I don't have a lot of time. I got places to go, things to do. But there's something I want right now, so I'll grab it. I'll just go to Jesus. Jesus, I need this. Thank you, Lord, and take off. Hallelujah. He wants you to spend a little time with Him. He doesn't want to just be a convenience to you. Whatever it is that's got you so busy, get past that and come to Jesus. He wants to spend some time with you. He wants to listen to you sing a little bit. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. For some people, He is the answer. For others, He's the one that causes all the questions. Yeah. I heard a preacher's wife once, and I just say this, and I'm not saying this to stir up a debate or cause a discussion in the
on the internet, and I'm not talking good or bad about anything about hair right now, okay? But this Pentecostal preacher's wife is riding in the car in front of me next to her husband who was on his way to take us to a place where we were going to preach and sing. I was sitting in the back seat. Her husband's name was Don. And for those of you that are here, he's the one I spoke of that called me a couple of days ago anyway. But she was sitting next to Don. And she looked over there and she said, Don, and called his last name with a real stern face while he's driving that car. And she was working on her hair, trying to fix that hair. And she said, I'm going to tell you something, Don. When I get to heaven, if I find out that I could have been cutting my hair all this time, I'm going to get me a pitchfork and chase you all over heaven. And I durst not say a word. I just ride in the car with her. No. Because that wasn't the issue I wanted to get involved in. She was having such a tough time with her hair. And it just wouldn't come out. It was just long. It was real long. And she'd try to get to church, and she'd get it up, and it'd fall. And she said, Don. And he just laughed. You know, they were just cutting up. They knew how to do that with each other. But when husbands and wife are talking about things that you don't know much about, if they're serious or not serious, it's better just to hold your peace and sing your song in silence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And her, they were so strong about the hair issue that her daughter-in-law was vacuuming her house, and her hair went all the way down to the floor. When she let her hair down, it dragged on the floor behind her. It was that long. She had never let scissors cut her hair. And her hair had grown about as tall as she was tall. And she was walking around with a vacuum cleaner, vacuuming the house. She turned around, and her hair got caught in the brush of the vacuum cleaner. It rolled around and around that roller, pulled her all the way down, hit her head against the vacuum cleaner, knocked her out. And all of her hair was tangled up in the vacuum cleaner. Can you imagine the mess that was? There she was lying unconscious on the floor, vacuum cleaner stuck, with her hair all wadded up inside it. When she came to, the ambulance people were there working with her, trying to revive her, and they had scissors in their hands. And she yelled out, said, get those scissors away from here. I do not cut my hair. And they said, you got to cut your hair this time. Because you're never going to get loose in this vacuum cleaner. Unless you do. She said, then I'll wear this vacuum cleaner the rest of my life. Now that's dedication. That's how strong she was with her commitment to God. Her song was a song that maybe some of you can't sing. Maybe that's not your verse right now, but it was hers. That was her verse. Ain't nobody touches what God has told me is my glory unto Him. Every time that she had to fix her hair, she was singing to the Lord a glorious song, which we're instructed to do. Thank you, Jesus, because of the angels. There's a lot on that I could talk about. And you get to heaven, you can ask Him about it. But right now, I think it's good to give all the glory you can, even if it includes hair-splitting issues. Hallelujah. They took her to the hospital, vacuum cleaner and all, in the ambulance. They had to carefully hold that vacuum cleaner, big, large vacuum cleaner. I think it was a big old Kirby, anyway. They had to hold that thing, you know. And be careful, because she was right up against it, her hair all wadded up inside. Yeah, just to the hospital. They got to the hospital, the first thing they told her, we're going to have to cut that hair. She said, no, you're not. She made those people spend hours taking that vacuum cleaner apart. Just like sometimes we get so many wires around here, you know, and they're in all these boxes, and sometimes we just have to take a day and untangle all these wires. That's how her hair was. And they had to spend hours, piece by piece, in that brush, that hospital, taking one hair at a time, making sure none of it was split. And if they even acted like they were going to pull it or just stop it, I want every inch of it there when you get through. I've talked about that in some private conversations with different friends in different places. And I've heard all kinds of comments. Well, if it had been me, I'd have done this or I'd have done that. It wasn't you. You know what she was doing? She was singing her song to the Lord. And it wasn't anybody else's business. Praise Him with me right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. Have you ever trusted Jesus? That's another question you should ask yourself when your song seems to not be there. You ever trusted Him? Have you ever found that you can trust Him? And start trying to answer that question. If I can answer that question, maybe I can get some help trying to remember my song. Have I ever trusted Jesus? If you start asking that and be serious about it, you'll start saying, yeah, I have, and you'll remember. Oh, yes. And if you spend just a little extra time, you might even write a new verse. Because it'll start coming forth from your heart. Oh, my, how He blessed me when I went through this thing. How He delivered me. Oh, hallelujah. After a while, you'll be just singing, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, glory. Lord, I trusted you. And then stop a moment. Selah. Think about it. Pause. And ask yourself, can I trust Him now? Hallelujah. Now, it's better to ask yourself, did I trust Him at one time in my life? Have I ever trusted Him? Before you ask yourself, can I trust Him now? Because if you say that first, you might think of all the reasons why you can't right now. Although you might not think you could ever think like that. But I know what it is to be so down. And I've seen others get to this point. It just seems so down that everything else has to be tried before you try to trust Jesus. Although you might have trusted Him 1,000 times before. But right now, this is different. This is not what I expected. This is far beyond anything I thought a Christian would ever have to go through. So what are you going to do? Stop speaking to God? I don't like you no more. God wants to hear your song. I can't sing right now. Oh, you're going to hang your harp on a willow, huh? And just kind of hide out there in the shadow somewhere and lose your song? Don't you know the answer to your problem is in your song? Hallelujah. Don't you know? Don't you know the reason the Lord wants you so many times in the Word of God to keep on singing? Is because as you do that, you're singing to the Lord praises, and He's going to deliver you out of everything you're going through. Hallelujah. Think back of every time that you testified, if you ever testified. And ask yourself, did I really have a testimony then? And maybe you can think of a few times that the reason that testimony was there. The reason you cried. The reason you rejoiced. The reason everybody rejoiced is because God had blessed you. Hallelujah. Then ask yourself, I wonder if I can testify now. And your song starts coming back. Jesus, you've been good to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Hallelujah, sing praises to His name. Glory to God. And those children of Israel made it across to the other side. The Bible says they picked up timbrels and they started singing a song. It was a song of victory. It was a song of Moses, too. It was a song, amen, of what God has done. And the horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. And, oh, look what God has done. Later, David picks up a pen and writes parts of that song and writes other things about the grace and the mercy and the wonderful things to look forward to. And he combines the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And we read it in church today, and coupled with all that, we got the Holy Ghost. We're baptized in Jesus' name. And we've got all the law and all the prophets and all the Bible and the Holy Ghost, which is the presence of God. We got a reason to sing and rejoice. And be exceeding glad, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I think I had maybe one more little note, and I tore it loose in case I didn't have enough time. And it says this, which means I've got plenty of time. Just stand there for a moment. Actions speak louder than words. You've heard that before, haven't you? You know, you can say you love Jesus. I can say I love Jesus. That only counts if you really do love Jesus. You can say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. And you can mean it, you think, and say it and say it. The only way that that is something that has quality to it is if from that moment forward you really do live for God. You can't just talk about it. You got to sing it to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let your testimony go away when things get tough, when the road gets rough, when the dark clouds roll. If you don't have it right then, find a corner where you can just get with Jesus and sing to Him. Sing to Him. You do not have to sing la, 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 la. Not that. You might not even open your mouth at first while you start singing this song. Praise God. It's just, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, all He's done for me, my soul cries out. You might think on that for 30 minutes before you utter a sound. But praise God, the sound that comes out of your mouth, no matter what words are spoken, even if it's words you can't understand, they're unto the Lord. God hears your song, the song of your heart in the night, in the storm, in the rough times. God hears your song. And if you're singing it to the Lord, you can count on the Lord that you're singing to give you some more songs of happiness in the days to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise His name.